What's up, Oos? Main event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
It's time to start your morning off big.
That's right.
Keeping you entertained on your way to work.
I remember a lot of loud outbursts with swear words in them.
Robbie Stanley.
Edge rusher or right tackle.
And Joe Rexroad-R. Robbie and Rex Road.
I got a ghost runner at second.
Presented by First Horizon Bank. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle.
Yes! Another biscuit?
Your sports live here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. And the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Slingshot in game.
ESPN's Turon Davenport. Talking Titans. Now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN. 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Turon Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, and expert on all things Tennessee Titans and the world of football. TD, how we doing? What's going on?
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, TD, I'm looking at this roster right now, and specifically at wide receiver, and certainly at a few more positions, but focusing in on wide receiver. They need some bodies right now, man. And I'm looking around at the rest of the free agent receivers that are available. We know Stephon Diggs is at least met with the Patriots to this point. But is there anybody in particular out there that really catches your eye beyond, like, you know, we've talked with you about Elijah Moore, but any of, like, those veteran guys that you'd be willing to really take a shot on, be that a Diggs, a Lockett, a Cooper, a Keenan Allen, somebody of that mold?
No, I would more or less leave all that alone. I think that's something that if they have to look at it after the draft, they could do that. But you just, there's no use at this point. And I mean, I think you got to make sure if you bring a veteran in, it has to be the right one anyway, because we saw how the addition by subtraction happened with DeAndre Hopkins, you know. So it's, I wouldn't touch any.
Is there a type of receiver, TD, that you think fits Cam Ward? And maybe, you know, it's a little bit of an off-the-wall question, but, you know, I mean, sometimes there are, you know, like with Levis, we've talked before about, you know, you try to get as vertical possibilities as you can, because that's like his strength. Like, when you watch Cam Ward, and obviously with Ostrepo, there was a great chemistry, but is there a type of receiver, I guess it would be more in this draft, that you think that would fit him?
No, I don't think you need any particular type. I mean, he could throw the short timing pass for the guy to catch him and get yards after the catch. He could throw the vertical. He could throw the deep in breaking. So I don't think you need a particular receiver. Or, you know what, I'll answer it this way. One that gets open. That's probably the best way to put it.
TD, I heard you on with Jared yesterday, and you were talking about Kyle Kennard from South Carolina, and I think it just kind of drives home. I really like this year's edge rusher class, whether it's Kennard. I mean, you talked about Jack Sawyer that you could find a little bit later in the draft as well. So when you look at, like, the depth and the quality of this class, realistically, like, how far down do you think it could go in terms of options for the Titans, where they could land a guy that could come in and be an impactful player for them as a rookie, knowing that at the moment they don't have a third-round pick?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to get an impactful pass rusher, you're going to do it, you know, within the first couple rounds. I mean, that's usually how it works. But, I mean, sometimes you find a guy later. But I would say probably, you know, at 35, when you're looking at those, you know, as I mentioned, Donovan Ezeraku, Kyle Kennard, a bit later, you know, Landon Jackson. And, it comes down to, like, okay, do you just kind of land on a guy that just happens to fit perfectly and has some talent? That's really what it comes down to. And typically, you know, those things happen in the first two rounds when it comes to pass rushing.
So I think this is going to be a weekly, you know, question of everybody, you know, anybody who covers the Titans, you know, it's like, I think we all have this presumption of Cam Ward, but I still, you know, I'm keeping the light on flickering to the idea that someone out there says, okay, how about this? I mean, we heard Schefter talking about, like, apparently Cleveland, you know, really wants Cam Ward. Obviously the Giants have been mostly the team that we've talked about. Do you think, TD, that it's possible that the Titans could be swayed to move off one?
Yeah, I mean, I think you give them a deal that is just one they can't refuse. I don't see why they wouldn't. But it does appear that Cam Ward is the direction. But again, like, there's a degree of, hey, make a deal and they'll do it.
TD, you've brought up Dante Thornton, and I know you had him on Talking with TD this week. You know, obviously Tennessee fans around here have watched him play a lot, and the speed is unbelievable that he brings to the table. You know, there's the thought, and people talked about this with Jalin Hyatt as well, about, you know, the route tree at Tennessee, and, you know, does that slow guys down, and do you have to? Is it a big process to learn that at the NFL level? What do you make of that idea and looking at Thornton and the way that he played at Tennessee and his film? How much of an impactful player do you think he can eventually be once his skill set is honed at the NFL level?
Yeah, it's a lot different because you watch Tennessee, you know, guys are so often getting free releases off the ball. They're running into wide open spaces and things like that because the offense is designed really well, and it does only ask him to do three or four things. But you know, I remember Jalin Hyatt, you know, his interaction with the Cowboys scout, and he was telling him how he can run routes, and he showed him that at pro day. Dante Thornton, he did the same thing, you know, during the offseason, or not offseason, but ramp up to combine and all that. He really worked extensively on routes and things like that, and just being able to sink his hips and change direction, which is a little more difficult for a guy that's 6'5", especially one that runs 4'3".
Yep.
So that's something that he's bringing along. But, I mean, I think you look at the guy, he has a pretty solid release package. You put him on the ball as an X receiver. He's going to get vertical, you know, but he's also going to run those slants and things like that. So I think he's going to be value on day three, and I think he could be an eventual starter.
Petey, what's your read on the Chidobe Awuzie move? Do you – I know, you know, Baker is a guy they kind of like. I mean, how do you view – their obviously durability is a part of that for sure, right? But just the move there and what it says about the current group of corners.
Yeah, I mean, look, Jarvis Browning, that's really what it factors down to. He's going to be the starter, and they felt that he was a starter last year, and he's, you know, earned that right this year, and that's really what it boiled down to. And it also shows they believe that Jerry Sneed is going to come back healthy and be good to go. And as you mentioned, Daryl Baker. So really, it just, they got somewhat younger, you know, at that position. They'll probably draft somebody. You got Dave Judy-Lally, who they'll pull up and down off of the practice squad as well. So it just kind of shows that, hey, look, if they feel something was a mistake last year, they're going to, or just period, they're going to act accordingly. And I think that's what they did by releasing Chidobe Awuzie, by trading Kenneth Murray Jr. It shows that they will cut ties with something that they feel isn't, you know, working in the right direction or what they would call a depreciating asset.
So, TD, I have to get your thoughts on this because, Jack Gibbons ends up in New England, and the reaction from Titans fans was, well, of course he does. Of course Vrabel went after for Jack Gibbons. What was your reaction when you saw that Dr. Gibby was ending up back with old Vrabes?
Yeah, just that exactly. And, I mean, you find comfort in familiarity, and that's what he did. I mean, it's Titans North up there, so it doesn't surprise me at all.
what do you think of overall what Vrabel's done?
Yeah, I mean, he wasted no time. I mean, within a couple of weeks, you know, he had stretch. He had Ryan Cowden, you know, Ty Downing, Tony Dews. I mean, he's Terrell Williams. Like, man, he's really gotten the band back together. And I was joking with him about that at the Senior Bowl, and that's really what he did. So, again, I mean, if I have guys that I'm familiar with and confident in, I would do the same thing. So I get it.
But, I mean, beyond that, I feel like they've gotten some good – I feel like they've had a pretty good offseason of player acquisition.
Yeah, I mean, they've done a good – you'd like to see them get a receiver, you know. It seemed like maybe Stephon Diggs was going to end up there. We'll see what happens. But, I mean, overall, they have. And, I mean, they got tons of money to spend. So they'll keep spending it, and we'll see what they do.
No doubt. TD, good stuff, man, as always. Appreciate you taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, appreciate you guys.
Yep, Teron Davenport, our guest on Robbie and Rexrow. We'll react to what TD had to say there. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rexrow, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrow, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Tune in later today to 102.5, 106.3 The Game for Vanderbilt Baseball as the Commodores host Texas A&M. Pregame at 5:45, first pitch at 6 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. Appreciate TD for being with us in the last segment. Joe, a lot of people in the text line were going back to the Luther Burden conversation earlier that don't think there's any way whatsoever that Luther Burden is going to be available at 35 for the Titans. I would tend to agree with that, although I am seeing more and more of the mock drafts that don't have him in the first round, which is very interesting to me. I mean, I've always thought Luther Burden was a really good player. I didn't love his quarterback at Missouri and Brady Cook. You know, is he going to be like some superstar in the NFL? I have my doubts about that. But I guess at the end of the day, I will end up being surprised if Burden makes it out of the first round.
Yeah, I think he's a first-round player. But obviously there are some people who have, again, I think Burden for a lot of the season last year, I mean, it was kind of, is it Tet McMillan or is it Luther Burden as wide receiver one?
Right.
And it seems like McMillan's still up there, but Matthew Golden has obviously made a huge move. Sometimes you have also like a run at a position that's possible. If you made me guess right now, like I had to bet some money on it, I would bet him sneaking into the first round, but it's probably pretty low. I mean, the way it looks like things are shaking out, a lot of offensive linemen going, you know, I wouldn't call it the craziest thing in the world for him to be there at 35.
No, I don't think it's crazy either. I just, you know, I look at wide receiver. It kind of feels like there's always a run on those guys, right? And, yeah, like, I don't know exactly where McMillan's going to go. I don't know that Tet McMillan is going to be, like, a star-level wide receiver in the NFL. Like, frankly, we've talked about this. Others have talked about this. You can find good receivers in every draft, and I think that's true. I would say that this receiving class is not as strong as some of the ones we've seen recently that have come out. But I really like Matthew Golden. I think he can be a good player. I like McMillan. The question with McMillan to me is going to be, you know, at what level of receiver is he? Like, is he top 10 guy in the league? Is he a legit number one? Is he going to end up being a really good number two? Like, what is that going to look like for him? Like, he could play, there's no doubt about that. And I'd have the same question about Burden. Like, is Burden going to be a number one guy? Is he going to be a really good number two option? Like, what's the level with these guys?
Yeah. And one of them will, at least, will exceed expectations. Again, I mean, I think that Amon-Ra St. Brown's a great example. Yeah, he's another one of those dudes who was in a draft, you know, and he goes in the fourth round, and he's a slot guy. And I think that he's probably a top five receiver in the NFL, or close to it. You know, I do, like, I'm telling you, man, if you watch Cam Ward's stuff, what you will see a lot is you'll see a lot of throws to Restrepo, right?
Yep.
I think he's freaking good. I really do. I feel like he's one of those guys who's not going to go in the first round, I don't think. but is going to end up being a real steal for someone. So again, it's like, I know it seems like such a collegey idea to, like, you know, oh yeah, let's draft the quarterback and let's get his receiver too. It's like so doomed to fail, you know? And yet I think that it would, that could be really good. And I think wherever that guy goes, I think he's going to be a playmaker in the NFL.
Or you could trade for Hendon Hooker and Hyatt.
Ooh.
And Tillman.
Ooh.
Bring them all in.
That is an exciting thought. That is, and then have Joe Milton as QB too.
Well, I mean,
just
you could
take the whole operation.
You could add to it. I mean, that's a way that you could go there. There's apparently Milton's available. So,
just, I mean, throwing that out, I mean, there. There's people talking about him like the Giants should make him their starter. I'm like, you guys gotta calm down, man. You guys have got to calm down.
I saw that. Yeah, you know that. TD's right, of course, about edge rusher. Like, very rarely do you find those guys later in the draft that end up being like those superstar players. I am going to be interested to see, because I think there's going to be a run on those guys too, like when that starts. Like, obviously, Abdul Carter is the cream of the crop when it comes to the edge rushers in this draft, and there's guys that we've talked about in the first round. There are also guys that I don't think are going to go in the first round that could end up being pretty good players. Like, I mean, the two guys from Ohio State are interesting. Yeah. I know, like, Sawyer in particular doesn't have, like, impressive athletic traits, right? Like, you watch –
he's a,
like,
dog.
You watch the combine, and he's not really a guy that's going to, you know, blow things away out there. But he is a dog, and he is a guy that absolutely has a high motor. So, you know, somebody's going to end up with him. I think he could be a good player in the NFL. I really like Kyle Kennard. You know, I've talked about Kyle Kennard for a while here on the show. I think he's really good, despite who his head coach in college was. So, like, I really like Kyle Kennard. I really like Landon Jackson from Arkansas. Like, I think there's some really solid edge rush options in this draft. And if there is a run on edge rusher, like I anticipate there will be, I'm interested to see when guys like, particularly like Jackson and Kennard, go off the board.
Yeah. And it's Skirton, who I'm terrible with his name, but, you know, certainly a talented guy. LD McMinnville asking about where Restrepo's, you know, expected to go. So I'm looking at our big board at the Athletic. Yeah, Trey Harris, someone mentioned him.
Yep.
Certainly. Yeah, like, I mean, I'm looking at Restrepo, and I'm looking at, I'm going down to 90. So, you know, if that's the case, you're talking about, you know, you're talking about a guy who probably goes somewhere in the third round. Titans don't have a third round pick, but is it possible that a guy like that gets to the top of the fourth? I'd be shocked. I would be shocked if that were the case. And look, I could be wrong. I mean, it's, you know, you do have to be careful sometimes watching college players and understanding the competition. The ACC was not great this year. The ACC is not really great in any sports anymore. Have you seen them in this NCAA tournament, by the way? So, but I don't know, man. I just, watching him play, I feel like he is a real dude. So 90 on our big board. I'll be very interested to see if he's drafted above or below or right around that.
So TD's talked with us about Dante Thornton out of Tennessee. And Joe, he's a really interesting guy because he can run like the wind, and we've seen that. I mean, he averaged 25.4 a catch last year for Tennessee. Problem is, like, you look at his production, and it's not great. Like, his first year at Tennessee, he had 13 catches for 224 yards and a touchdown. Last year, he had 26 catches for 661 and six touchdowns. He made some huge plays for Tennessee last year. He made a gigantic play in the Oklahoma game, in the Vanderbilt game. Like, he's a big play guy. He had some injury problems at Tennessee, and there's not a high volume of catches to really work with there. But the speed and the size, I think, is really tantalizing with him. I am interested to see, like, how NFL teams view him and if he can actually carve out a role for himself in the NFL.
Yeah, look, I disagree with TD rarely, but I would stay the heck away from Thornton. If you can't stay healthy in college, how are you going to stay healthy in the NFL? And it's also like this is a problem with, you know, with this offense at times is, Like there's, and TD mentioned it, you know, you got free releases. I mean, you know, this offense, you got half the, on one side of the field, half the time you just like take three steps and stand and watch the other side of the field. I mean, it's look, I mean, if you can win with your offense, do that offense, but there is a huge adjustment for receivers coming to the NFL. And I just feel like, yes, he made big plays, you know, and they have those choice routes where you're either, you read the coverage and you either just, you run a go or you run a comeback, and he runs a go and he's fast and he makes plays. I just, between the durability and just some of the questions about the route tree and the different things you have to do as a receiver, I would stay away from him, but it'd be fun to see him come in the league and make plays. He definitely has the speed.
Who's going to be the highest drafted outside of Pierce, who I think is clearly going to be the highest drafted Vol? Who's next? Like, is it Norman Lott? That'd probably be my vote. I guess Omar Norman Lott.
Yeah.
Sampson. I mean, is there a run on running backs at some point? Does Sampson move up? I don't know. But, like, I guess Norman Lott's probably my guess.
It's probably between those two. And I would be with you on Norman Lott. Norman Lott's a really good player, man. Norman Lott is a he's active. You know, he's not just a space filler in there. I think he's going to be a good player. But I like Dylan Sampson too. I mean, I think somebody's going to get Sampson third round, fourth round, right? Like, yep. You said, sometimes there's a run, and so, you know, but probably not before the third round. Man, he's going to come in this league and make plays. I don't think there's any question he can be part of a good two-back, you know, pairing in this league somewhere.
You think Brew McCoy gets drafted, or is he a UDFA at the end of it?
Gosh, I mean, he obviously had the injury. The physicality is undeniable. Just don't know. I don't remember. I don't. You tell me. What has he run? Has he run anything? What are the numbers on the on him running?
That's a good question. I can try to pull that up real quick. Mocks that I see for him, and you know, we've seen very few like full mocks at this point, but most people have like a seventh round grade on him.
Yeah, like if with everything else with him, he has good hands. If he ran like a 4.6, 4.5, I think he'll be drafted. But I just, and maybe he doesn't run at all. I don't know. Like Tennessee Pro Day. Has Tennessee Pro Day happened?
I don't think so.
I'm so basketball brained right now. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see if he runs on that day and if he can help himself.
The numbers that I'm seeing pulled up are a 4.6, 2.40. So,
I mean, I think if that's like if he ran like that at his pro day, I think someone would take him in the sixth or seventh.
But I'm also seeing a 4.6, 2.40 from his high school recruiting day, so I'm gonna hold off on that number.
Well, then yeah, he's gonna need to have that.
I'm gonna assume he's probably gotten faster since he was in high school. It's just my guess. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. It is time for weekend winners. Coming up next, we'll try to build on what was a very impressive week for this program. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
It's time to pick some winners. We hope. Robbie and Rex Rowe have weekend winners for you. Now on ESPN. 102.5, The Game and The Game Nashville app.
It is time for weekend winners here on Robbie and Rex Rowe. A little NCAA tournament action this weekend. Preds back in action tomorrow hosting the Toronto Maple Leafs. We got a lot to get into here. First, a quick recap of last week. Your boy, Robbie Stanley, 6-0 with his lock last week. A perfect week.
Oh, boy.
In the competition. Joe Rexroad also doing very well, 4-2 with his lock.
Boom.
So limiting the damage done by my 6-0 week. Keezer, 3-3. No lock for Keezer. But all in all, an excellent week for the Robbie and Rexroad program last week, Joe, in the competition.
Absolutely. Well done on this. A very rare thing, the perfect week. So you are coming back strong, and you might be the person getting that free pizza after you buy the last one.
Yeah, speaking of.
At some point, I guess needs to happen. Of course, Rexor probably needs to be in town for that to happen. The overall standings.
That would help.
I'm in first place, 16-8, 3-1 on my locks, 19 points. Rexor 13-11, 3-1 on his locks, 16 points. Keyser 11-13, 2-2 on his locks, 13 points. In the competition. We begin, Joe, with Vanderbilt and St. Mary's. Not to be confused with Mount St. Mary's, who is also playing today. A lot of St. Mary's in action. Vanderbilt taking Indeed. On St. Mary's. St. Mary's is a 4.5-point favorite in this one. I'm going to start on this. I'm going St. Mary's. I've had a feeling all week that St. Mary's is going to win.
You know, I don't love the 4.5-point line because I think it's going to be really close, but I think I'll go St. Mary's to just barely cover that spread and pull it out. So I'll go St. Mary's minus the 4.5. Rex Road, your pick between Vanderbilt and St. Mary's.
Speaking of St. Mary's, you know, giving up sweets for Lent, but I did have like four like protein bars, chocolate peanut butter. That doesn't count. I just want you to know.
It's healthy.
That's right. Those are protein bars. I'm going Vanderbilt. I think Vanderbilt is going to win a very close game. I think they're going to reset here. They're going to get Hogard playing well, creating for people, and Jason Edwards is going to be a name we're talking about today as a dude in this tournament who can absolutely get buckets.
Keyser, St. Mary's favored by 4.5.
Yeah, I feel good about Mark Byington and his first appearance at the dance with the Doors. Give me Vanderbilt.
Going with the Doors. UCLA and Tennessee tomorrow in the round of 32. Tennessee is a 4.5-point favorite in this one. Joe Rexroad, we start with you.
After watching UCLA last night, this is a very dangerous game for Tennessee. I think Tennessee is going to win a great game, but I think it's going to come down to like final possession type stuff. And when the Vols win by 14, everybody can laugh at me Monday. I'm taking UCLA and the 4.5, and I'm picking Tennessee to win by 2.
Nick Keyser, Vols by 4.5 against UCLA.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Vols as well. Hopefully we don't have a very auspicious clean sweep here, but, you know.
I just picked UCLA, bro.
Well, I mean, just in terms of, like, thinking of it being a close game, I know what you picked, but I do think Tennessee wins it in a close game as well.
I'm going to UCLA. I'll go UCLA plus the 4.5. Joe, I'm going to be honest with you. I got a bad feeling about this one. I've had a bad feeling about it since the game ended last night. Doesn't mean anything because, as we know, my college basketball skills can be lacking at times, but I got a bad feeling about this game.
I get it. Like, UCLA has a lot of good players and a good coach. Like, they just sort of, at times this year, they've been really good. They beat Michigan State. Like, they have really some really good wins, and they have some weird losses where their defense disappears. It's a fascinating game.
The Leafs coming into town tomorrow to take on the Preds. Keyser, we begin with you. Who wins, Toronto or Nashville?
Yeah, maybe Ryan O'Reilly turns it on against his former team. I don't know, but he was definitely sad last night. But I am going to go with Toronto on Saturday, and I'm going to lock down on this game as well. The losing streak will pile on.
Joe, I'm going Toronto, and I think since we've started weekend winners, I have not missed a single Preds pick yet. Not one. So I'm going Toronto. Rexroad, your selection.
See, I was going to make it my lock too, but I mean, now I kind of feel bad making it my lock, especially since Nick's in last place.
Do whatever you want.
But yeah, it's well, you know, it's all right. I mean, I'm definitely going Leafs, so we're all going Leafs. I'll hold off on the lock.
Okay. We go to the individual portion of the program. Rexroad, your first individual selection.
So Oregon women and Vandy women today in a 7-10 game, and Tennessee women also play today. It's an insane day of basketball locally. Vanderbilt is minus 5.5. I think they're going to beat Oregon by double figures. Give me Vanderbilt to make – yeah, no, hold off. I'm going to hold off on that one too, but give me Vanderbilt.
Going Vanderbilt minus 5.5 today against Oregon. Nick, your first individual selection.
Yeah, I'll make it quick. I thought of that game as well. Jake Lyman on the call. He's been part of a fantastic run this year, so stay tuned for that coverage. But, yeah, I'm going to go with Vanderbilt over the Ducks.
Give me Memphis plus 1.5 against Colorado State and make it my lock. Memphis, the 5 seed, a 1.5-point dog against Colorado State. Joe, I really need this to happen because I have Memphis to the final 4 in my bracket, which is stupid.
Oh, boy.
But I've got it. So give me Memphis plus the 1.5 and make it my lock in the competition. Nick, your second individual selection.
Yeah, part of the branch in my bracket. I would like to see Alabama. They are favored 22.5 points over RMU, the Fighting Brooks Brattons, I guess. But, yes, give me Bama over Robert Morris.
Bama minus 22.5. against Robert Morris. Joe Rexroad, your second individual selection.
So we talked earlier on the show, and by the way, I like the Memphis thing, man. The Mountain West right now is not playing well. So You know, they're getting exposed a little bit. Memphis got to be feeling disrespected as the underdog there. We talked earlier in the show about Gonzaga, how dangerous they are. And I believe that. Like, you saw it yesterday. They got a lot of good players. But they're playing Houston. Houston's -4.5. Dude, Houston is a wagon. And I hope we get Houston, Tennessee. I think it would be an amazing game if those teams are both playing at their best. But give me Houston against Gonzaga, -4.5. Make that my lock.
Guarantee.
Lock it down on Houston, -4.5 against Gonzaga. Give me the Denver Nuggets, +1 against the Blazers. Nuggets have some guys out of the lineup right now. I don't care. They're going to win against the Blazers without those guys. Give me the Nuggets, +1. Rex, what's your final individual selection?
So I picked McNeese and High Point in my bracket yesterday. High Point had a chance. McNeese, absolutely. I mean, Clemson looked like a junior high team trying to go against them. They did make a run. It ends up looking like a close game, and they made a run. Give them credit. But McNeese wins. I'm working last night. And I'm seeing you and Caroline having this huge argument on Twitter with Nate about our guy Will Wade. But Will Wade, hey man, he's still coaching McNeese. It's still his university right now.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, I must say it's refreshing to me to see a dude who's like, yeah, I've talked to NC State. Yeah, I told my guys I'm probably going to NC State. Some of them are going to come with me. Sure.
Why
give
not?
Me the honesty. And give me McNeese with +5.5. I think McNeese wins outright and goes to the Sweet 16.
Going with McNeese +5.5 coming up tomorrow. Give me the Columbus Blue Jackets +1.5 tonight against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Columbus got to have it. So give me Columbus +1.5 against Pittsburgh tonight. Keys are your final individual selection.
Yeah, after taking down Texas, Xavier, I think they could win another one. And they're facing off against Illinois. Xavier is a +3.5 underdog, but I think Xavier moves on.
So going Xavier +3.5 against Illinois. Keezer's got to win it outright, too. I like it. That's some good stuff.
Watch out for those Musketeers.
Yep. Got to watch out for the Musketeers. That's the one part of the bracket right now that I've got perfect is that Midwest bracket.
Nice.
Rolling so far. Because everybody cares about my bracket, Joe.
I don't think we've talked enough about our brackets today. Maybe we should finish the show and go through every single pick next segment.
Maybe. You didn't even get to ask Jared that earlier.
Well, he wouldn't shut up. We couldn't get to all the questions we had for him.
I wonder if he had Louisville getting destroyed on his bracket.
615-737-1025, our phone number. One more segment coming up next. We'll look ahead to a very busy weekend in the NCAA tournament. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. Tune in all day today for updates of the NCAA basketball tournament presented by Toyota. Fuel your adrenaline at toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places. Also brought to you by thenewcumberland.com, Twin Peaks, and Bet365. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, Tennessee wins yesterday in the men's tournament. Vanderbilt, men and women, in action today. A very busy weekend of basketball coming up this weekend. What has your eye the most today as we head into day number 2 of the men's tournament today and Vanderbilt women and Tennessee women getting underway today as well?
Yeah, well, again, I expect Vanderbilt women and Tennessee women both to win. And then, you know, you get into, you know, tougher games that are essentially road games where you get the Sweet 16. So, you know, it could be tough for both of them to make the Sweet 16. Although I actually, in my bracket, on the women's side, I have Tennessee beating Ohio State. So, we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, today on the men's side, again, we've talked about the locals. I think Vanderbilt and Lipscomb both. You know, Vanderbilt, I think they're going to be in a grinder, and I think they're going to win. And Lipscomb has to have a magical shooting performance. I mean, look, on the defensive side of the ball, even with Keyshawn Gilbert out, I mean, there's some matchup issues for Lipscomb, as you would expect, you know, for a team matching up with a team that high in the bracket. But there's a very good offensive team, a lot of shooters, space the floor. And that's the type of team that can, you know, that can cause trouble in this tournament. So I think they have a real shot.
Most intriguing game of the day, I'm going with North Carolina and Ole Miss. Well, you know, there's a lot of discussion about North Carolina, obviously, heading into this thing. They win in the first four. It's been an interesting start for the SEC. Like, Missouri goes down. Georgia gets smoked by Gonzaga. Texas doesn't get out of the first four. You know, Alabama plays later today. We'll see, you know, what happens on that front. They're going to probably smoke Robert Morris, but we'll see if Robert Morris can keep it a game. But I think most intriguing game of the day, Joe, to me, besides our local teams here, would be Ole Miss and North Carolina. Can Ole Miss put together a run here? Or is North Carolina just going to listen to all this noise, Joe, about how they don't deserve to be in here and just ride that towards a run to the Sweet 16?
Yeah, super fascinating game, no doubt about it. And we could be down to Duke in the ACC only by dinner.
Yep.
With that one, it should be that's a big game. You know, the SEC 4-3 right now. You know, it's like your lower seeds losing, but Missouri getting upset is a tough one. I guess you can offset it with Arkansas beating Kansas. That's a big one for the SEC. Two other games that I find really intriguing. One of them involving SEC team. You know, we mentioned Xavier, Illinois, that Nick is picking the Musketeers. I think that's a terrific game. I mean, Illinois, if they play at their level, I like them a lot in that game, and I like them to, you know, really give Kentucky an issue if that's the meeting in the round of 32. But we'll see. They're very Jekyll and Hyde. And the other game is Oklahoma-UConn. Everybody is just penciling UConn in to, you know, to give Florida. I mean, there's a reason they're an 8 seed and they're 23-10. They have flaws. And Oklahoma has one of the most exciting players in this tournament, Jeremiah Fears, younger brother of Michigan State point guard Jeremy Fears. Jeremiah Fears is going to be a first-round pick. You know, that's a big deal for the SEC too, and I feel like that's one of those games that everybody is completely sleeping on the Sooners just because UConn won the last two natties and Danny Hurley and all this stuff. Like, that team is very beatable.
All right, bigger upset possibility in your mind tomorrow. Creighton taking down Auburn or Gonzaga taking down Houston?
Creighton taking down Auburn. I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm writing about this some today from here. If Creighton plays like it did yesterday and Auburn plays like it did yesterday, Creighton will kick Auburn's butt tomorrow. Now, I'm not saying I expect that to happen, but – Bruce Pearl is getting fed up with his team. They're not playing with energy. They're not playing with focus. They're just throwing up early shot clock shots just because it's like a my turn shot. I don't like the vibe at all from Auburn, and they need to shake it up dramatically right now if they're going to win this game. Creighton has a terrific point guard in Steven Ashworth who has unlimited range. They obviously have the 7-footer in Kalkbrenner inside, but Jemiah Neal had 29 yesterday, destroyed Louisville. Their wing, who when it comes down to it, they can put the ball in his hands and just let him go make a play. Auburn is better, but they need to wake up and start playing Auburn basketball again, or they're going to be out of this tournament. By the way, Stillman, the culprit is apparently Jerry Eves, who was a point guard for Denny Crum winning a national title. So, Jerry Eves, all due respect to you, sir. Go give your coach a hug and don't do it at a press conference. We don't need a press conference hug.
What's on the docket for you today? You hanging out with your best friend, Zakai Ziegler, today?
Oh, you better believe it. Zakai and Auburn and Steven Ashworth, you know, all four teams this afternoon have long media sessions. So, but yes, I will absolutely get some more quality time with Zakai.
Coach, can you talk about your rest opportunity and your schedule today? We'd really like to know more about it.
Schedule is maybe the greatest.
That's my favorite. Schedule? All right. Cool.
Schedule.
Joseph, have a fantastic weekend. Enjoy the basketball.
Thank you. You guys too.
We will see you guys on Monday. Chasing Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No